Oh, we want to pick right up off that lyric that we just heard. In the heartache in the highlands, let's talk about it, the highs and the lows. Speaking of aches, we've talked about a few aches and what have you, and as you've already heard this morning, we're talking a little bit about taking hits. In the physical realm, I'll tell you a little bit about the hardest I'd ever been hit. There's a guy who I played football against once. If you don't know anything about football, this name will mean nothing to you, and that's fine. But his name was J.R. LaRose. He used to be a safety for what was formerly known as the Edmonton Eskimos. Today is known as the Edmonton Elks, which is an absolutely ridiculous name, but that's a whole nother conversation because I literally will eat elk for dinner, so why you would name your football team after supper is beyond me. I don't even want to get one of them new shirts, but I probably will. Anyways, I was playing a game against him. He hit me so hard that my face mask bent. I saved it. Now it's like a monument of like pride. But oh man, whew, did that ever hurt? That guy knew how to hit and hit hard. And I tried that whole game to get him back, and I never did. That hit, that physical hit, frankly, was like a love tap, if you will, in the midst of some of the emotional and mental and relational hits that I think I and we've all taken in life. And we want to process those hits a little bit this morning. Now, I admit to you, before I get going, I once heard a preacher say, one day all of us preachers are going to be sitting in heaven, circled up with the Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul's going to just shake his head and go, you guys, I didn't even mean half of what you said when you were speaking on these letters that I wrote. Which very well could be what happens based on this message this morning. I'm just telling you that up front. But nonetheless, I really felt led and just convicted to not so much break down the armor of God, which we will get into in just a moment, but to really just focus and emphasize application from this text. Because this text reminds us that we are in a battle, that life brings about a battle, and that whatever those physical hits or those emotional, those mental, those relational hits may be or entail, there isn't a doubt in my mind that the enemy is looking to leverage them and spiritually use them to steal, kill, and destroy. And the text reminds us of that we're in this battle, a battle that brings hits. And as we've already talked about earlier with Pastor Dan and I, it doesn't matter that you've come to Jesus and now all of a sudden you feel like it'll be easy street. It'll never be easy street. Life is not easy street just because you have a relationship with Jesus. We still will experience hits. And so this morning we're going to process what it looks like to get knocked back but still stand firm and really focus and emphasize that, if you will, from our text this morning. And my hope, my prayer is that this is applicable, this is relatable to all of us. And if I'm a little bit off, I hope one day when I'm sitting in that circle singing Kumbaya with the Apostle Paul in heaven, he'll forgive me. But I really feel recognizing we all take hits, and the call to stand firm is a reminder to us of our response in the midst of it, which we're going to unpack in just a moment. So let's start by going to the text this morning and reading it through in two parts and just breaking it down together. So we are in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. And I'm going to do it in two parts. So Ephesians chapter 6, 10 to 17. Let's start with the first part, 10 to just the first line in 14. It reads like this. A final word. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground. Paul starts off by saying a final word, and here's why I think he's saying this and why I feel comfortable going the direction I'm going this morning. Remember what we have talked about and where we have come from, right? The first half of Ephesians is you are in Christ, or you are united with Christ. You are united in Christ. It's a clear message all the way through chapters 1-3. And now that we've established that, we get into the next three chapters where it's now you are for Christ. You are for Christ. You are for Christ. This whole series we've gone, you're in Christ, now you're for Christ. You are in Christ, you are for Christ. And just because you are in Christ and now because you are for Christ doesn't mean it's going to be easy street. In fact, because you are in Christ and now that you are for Christ, you need to know you're entering into a battle. And this battle means hits are going to be part of the experience. And Paul doesn't want that his audience to miss that. He doesn't want them to think, wow, you're for Christ, or you're in Christ, now you're for Christ. It's going to be easy. No, you are in Christ, now you are for Christ, and you're walking into a battle. So hey, heads up, know this. Be aware. Stand firm. And so I'll unpack that stand firm in a second. But before I do, I want to bring this out. I mentioned a few times over the course of this series that there's this sub-theme in Ephesians that's linked to this phrase, the heavenly places or the heavenly realms. And we see that phrase right here, that we are fighting against all these evil rulers, authorities in the unseen world, mighty powers in the dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly realms or the heavenly places. And so I just want to be reminded real quick of what's going on in the heavenly realm or the heavenly places. So let me take you back real quick to chapter 1, verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. See, through faith, through relationship with Jesus, we find that there are blessings that take place in this heavenly realm, this heavenly place. And then in chapter 1, verse 20, I'm going to actually steal the last line of 19 as well. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realm. So there's blessing in the heavenly realms. We also see that here the Father and now Jesus, who has been raised from the dead, is seated in this place, this space, the heavenly realms. Jesus is present there. We know that he's ascended into the heavenly places. He is there. Now, we also find in chapter 2, verse 6, for he, referring to Jesus, raised us from the dead, God raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us, referring to the church of Ephesus, referring to us, the Jesus people, who follow the Jesus way, are part of his church today, seated us with him in the heavenly places or the heavenly realms. So there's blessing in the heavenly realm. Jesus, the Father, God is in the heavenly realm. And we, through faith and relationship with Jesus, are also in this heavenly realm, this heavenly place that exists. One other thought that's really important, 3 verse 10, God's purpose in all this was to use the church. That's us, the Jesus people who make up the Jesus way. Use to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. God wants to use us to display his wisdom in these places. And just to put the exclamation mark on what's going on there, we get to our passage, chapter 6, verse 12, where we see that also the demonic forces, the evil spirits of the unseen realm are also present in this heavenly place. So here's what this means. We are here, physically here, in this room right now. Wherever you're seated watching this right now, you are physically here. But if you know Jesus, you are also there. You're in the heavenly places, the spiritual realm. You have access to the throne. You are with the Father, heaven. You might say, well, how's that possible? COVID's taught us how that's possible. I'm consistently in meetings here in Fort Saskatchewan, but in a meeting in Calgary via technology, right? It's kind of like a living example of what's happening right here. We're here, but we are actually also present in this heavenly place, this heavenly realm, where the Father, where Jesus, where we also see the demonic is active. And this means we're in the midst of a battle that this text outlines for us. And a battle, it brings hits. A battle, it brings conflict. But for us, the Jesus people who follow the Jesus way, who make up his church, we are, as this text says, to stand firm. To stand firm. And then a third time, at the beginning of 14, stand your ground with the greatest amount of emphasis one could possibly muster. Paul says, in the midst of this battle, in the midst of this reality where hits happen, where you may find yourself getting knocked back, stand firm. Life is going to bring hits. We've talked about some of those hits already with Pastor Dan and I, and it's not so much what happens to us as it is our response. And so the text today tells us what it looks like to stand firm, and that we have what we need to stand firm in the form of outlining for us the armor of God. The passage starts off, put on all the armor in verse 11. It goes on in 13, therefore put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth, the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God first. Notice that this armor, the equipment that's necessary, if you will, to stand firm, it's fully provided. God's granted it to us. It's up to us to put it on. It's up to us to put it on. There's some responsibility, some onus on us to just ensure and see ourselves fully equipped with that armor of God. I remember a conversation I once had with a dear elderly lady in the fellowship I used to serve, and she would tell me how every morning she visualized herself getting up and putting on the armor. It was part of her daily routine to head into life. I loved hearing that from her. Put on. And like I said, I thought about processing and breaking down each of these pieces of armor, which one could totally do. In fact, one could easily do a message on every one of these things, right? The belt of truth, you could do a whole message on that and all the way through, right? But I really felt led to have us focus on application. Take note of this. In the midst of this armor, there are six things, five of which are defensive and only one is offensive. The sword of the Spirit, the word of God. Interestingly enough, even yesterday, the timing of this is perfect. In my devotional reading and my daily reading plan, I found myself in Matthew reading of the temptation of Jesus, where every time the devil comes at him, what does he do? Quotes the Bible. He uses the sword. And so we have this armor that we're to have, but only one piece of offensive equipment, for me at least, reminding me of the need to stand firm. When life comes, when those hits happen, those hits that the enemy looks to leverage for evil, to steal, kill, and destroy, and we find ourselves not back, will we stand firm? Yeah. Interestingly, I was just doing some reading and some listening to some message, preparing for this, and I'm taken to this study that a professor at Fuller Seminary once did. His name's Robert Clinton, and he studied all the leaders in Scripture, and he found that there's about 1,000 leaders in Scripture. Old Testament, you find patriarchs, you find prophet, priest, and king. You find New Testament apostles, evangelists, shepherds, teachers, right? He found about 1,000 of them throughout all of Scripture. But there's only a few that have really a lot written about them. And of those that have a bunch or enough content in Scripture written about them, he found this, that of the leaders he studied in Scripture, only 30% finished well. That's interesting. As he studied the leaders throughout all of Scripture, only 30% finished well. It means for 70% of the leaders in Scripture, when life would come up and the hits happened and the knockback took place, there wasn't a standing firm that followed. I love how Pastor Dan worded this morning. It's not so much about what happens, it's about our response. And our response must be, as people of faith, to knock back, to get back up, or to reground ourselves and stand firm. Putting on the full armor of God. Janelle and I regularly talk about legacy. And we talk about it in means where we mean so much more than just leadership and pastoral ministry. Just in general, what's it mean for us to leave a legacy with our life? As a couple, as a mom and as a dad, as a brother and a sister, as a son and a daughter, what's our legacy going to be? We talk about this regularly. And as you consider that example from Scripture, where only 30% finished well, it reminded me just how important it is to reflect on legacy often. And in the midst of reflecting on legacy, remember, it's not so much about what happens as how we respond. And a legacy is left by responding. But when we get knocked back, stand firm. And so this morning, I simply want to leave us with this and remind us of this, that life hits, and at times it hits hard. And whatever you're facing today, consider the legacy you want to leave. It's not so much about what happens, but how you respond. And in the midst of the hits that the battle brings, when you're knocked back, will you get back up and stand firm? God has given you all you need to do that. So put on the armor of God and stand firm and consider this day the legacy that you want to leave for the years to come. Blessings on you.